So if you haven't already turned there, please turn to Ruth chapter 4. We're going to be looking today at verses 11 through 22 and finishing up our book. We all like a happy ending to a story, and the book of Ruth has a very happy ending. At the beginning of our story, everything was falling apart for Naomi and Ruth. But in the end, their lives have been put back together again. God is good, huh? And as we look back, we see how Ruth and Boaz's relationship developed. In chapter 1, Ruth didn't even know who Boaz was. In chapter 2, Ruth became acquainted with Boaz, a wealthy landowner who showed her kindness and favor. And then in chapter 3, we saw her putting herself at his feet and asking Boaz to redeem her or marry her. And in chapter 4, we saw Boaz acting as her kinsman redeemer and marrying Ruth. So there's four divisions in our section today. First, we'll be looking at the blessing of the whole village. Then the blessing, the Lord's blessing on Boaz and Ruth, and then restoring Naomi, then their lineage, a blessing to the whole world. So let's back up a little bit to kind of get a head start on our study today, a little background. We're going to start in verse 9. Let's read 9 through 11. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who has come into your house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. And let your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this woman." So we see the blessing of the whole village in this section. Last week we saw how Boaz went right to work to do all that he needed to do to make Ruth his bride. First, he offered the nearer kinsman, because there was a nearer kinsman than him, he offered him the land and Ruth as his bride. But to his delight, he refused, and Boaz now had the right to buy the land and to take Ruth as his bride. So we see, actually, the hand of the Lord there as well. Just think if the kinsman, the nearer kinsman would have said, "Sure, I'll take the land and I'll take Ruth." And Boaz would go, "No, I love Ruth. I want Ruth, you know. Don't take her, you know." So we see God's hand there. During this transaction with, Lori did really good, told us last week about the gate and how there was different sections, and it was where they did all their legal transactions. And there was a certain area where the more of the general public could kind of hang out and listen. I was wondering, was Ruth there or was she back with Naomi? And it seems to me from the scripture that she probably was not there. That she, because remember back at the end of chapter 3 where Naomi told her to sit still, my daughter, and wait to see how the matter will come about. And how it says in chapter 4, verse 1, that Boaz went up to the gate. So it seems like maybe that Ruth was not here, that maybe she was at home waiting with Naomi. But we wonder, because it says that he took the right to marry Ruth. So we wonder, was there a big wedding? and a big reception. I really hope so, because I really don't like the marriage being right in this gate, you know, at the town square. I mean, Boaz, a big landowner, they had to have a big wedding, big reception, a big celebration for sure, don't you think? So I want to know the details, you know. I want to know what her dress looked like, and, you know, what the flowers were and everything. So I'm hoping they, and knowing the Jews, they had a big celebration for their weddings usually. They usually had a whole week of celebration, so I can't think that they too must have had a big celebration. Now word gets out at the gate, and all the people gather around to bless this transaction and the future couple. They are joyful, they're excited for the future, for this future newlyweds. And everybody loves a wedding, I know I do, and what a time to rejoice, especially when God has brought a couple together. What a blessing to rejoice in that. And I remember when my girls were little, we took them to a wedding, and it was at a big Victorian house, beautiful house, and the bride came up in a horse-drawn carriage, and my daughters are like, oh, and I was like, now listen, this is not the normal wedding, you know. I'm like, this, you're not going to have weddings like this. So, you know, but they thought, oh, this is great, you know, this is beautiful. So, but every bride and groom should want the blessings of God on their marriage and God's people on their marriage, right? And when you do have a wedding, that's what you're asking. You draw people together to bless you, to pray for you, to, you know, see the commitment that you're making not only to the Lord but to one another, and that we all can be accountable to everybody else, you know, that we have made this commitment to this man, that we're going to be committed to him. And the Lord designed marriage. He honors marriage, and he blesses marriage. And Jesus went to a marriage, right, at the wedding in Canaan. So he honors marriage. And all the people pray that the Lord will bless Ruth and Boaz with many children, that Ruth would be fruitful like Rachel and Leah, who bore Jacob 8 sons. They wanted Ruth to be fruitful, to be famous, and to bring honor to their town. And in verse 12, there's kind of a strange request that her house would be like Tamar. Now, Tamar's story is in Genesis 38. And if you don't know the story, Judah chose Tamar, who was a foreigner, to marry his eldest son, Ur. Now, Ur died before they had any children, and so he gave Tamar to his next son, Onan, who refused to raise up seed for his brother, so the Lord slew him. So Judah had one more younger son, and Judah refused to give him to Tamar, probably worrying what was going to happen to him. He already lost 2 sons from this lady. Now he doesn't want to give her his third son. So he sends her back to live with her father. And he wasn't really following what the Lord really wanted him to do. He was supposed to allow her to marry the third son. So Tamar had a little scheme going on. She heard that Judah was going to be taking a little trip, so she decided to pose as a prostitute along the road when he was going on this trip. She seduced her father-in-law, Judah, and she became pregnant with Perez and Zareth. She had twins. So it seems a little weird that they would ask that Ruth be like Tamar, right? Because she wasn't the greatest example. But possibly they mentioned this because it was another example of an Israelite marrying a foreigner, and also another example of a brother raising up seed for his deceased brother. Now the people prayed that Ruth would be fruitful in bearing children, and children are considered a blessing and not a burden. Now, I know we had this in our study Excuse me, but I love this Psalm 127, 3 to 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I know that kids are a lot of work. I had four of my own, and I have seven grandchildren. And two of our grandchildren just spent 4 days with us. So I know they're a lot of work, and they take a lot of time and energy. But they are such a blessing and such a joy, right? And it's so sad today that couples are actually choosing not to have children, young couples, because they don't want to cramp their style. They don't want the work or the burden of children, and it's so very sad because children are one of your greatest joys, your greatest delights, your greatest blessings that you'll ever, ever have in life. And in the U.S., each year, millions of babies are being aborted in the womb. And it is so, so sad that as a nation, we are aborting precious babies and taking their lives. And I want to ask that if you have had an abortion in the past and you feel that guilt and that shame, I want to assure you that the Lord forgives you and the Lord can cleanse you and the Lord can help you not to feel guilty and to know that he's forgiven us all of our sins. So don't carry that weight around. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Know that he has and rest in peace in him. Now we look at the Lord blessing, his blessings on Boaz and Ruth. Let's read verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, excuse me, allergies today, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. So God bless him. We don't know how soon after their marriage the Lord gave them a baby, but it almost seems like it was pretty quickly. The Lord blessed them with a special gift. Every baby is a special gift from God and should be treated that way. And every baby deserves a loving home and caring parents that will raise them in the Lord. Jacob said in Genesis 33:5, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. And I want you to notice in verse 13 that it says, the Lord gave her conception. And the Lord is the only one that can give us conception, right? And we all know what a blessing it is to have children. But I want to be sensitive to those of us, too, that are dealing with infertility and going through that hard time. It's a very painful time. It's a time of heartache and a time of many disappointments. And I know that personally because my daughter Bethany went through that. They had Madison when they were first married, and their plan was to have several children. And she couldn't get pregnant, And she went through many years of agony and disappointment. And I think a lot of us are not sensitive maybe to those around us that are maybe struggling with that. And I have a heart for you, and I know how hard it is to go to baby showers and have other friends and relatives getting pregnant, and then you still are not getting pregnant. It can be very hard, but the Lord blessed my daughter after 10 years. Madison is 10. She got pregnant, and she has little Dawson now. And so the Lord is good. He has his time, his purpose, and his plan. And we can find peace in knowing that the Lord does have a plan. He has a bigger picture sometimes than we can understand. And maybe it's not his will for you to have children or for you to even be married. And that may be kind of a hard pill to swallow, but the Lord sometimes has other plans for us, and maybe a better plan. Maybe he wants to use you in missions or in other ministries that you wouldn't be able to do if you were married and have children. And or maybe the Lord wants you to adopt. You know, there's children out there that need loving homes, and they would never have a chance to hear about Jesus. So just be open to whatever the Lord has. If you're in that situation, waiting on him, praying, asking him, what do you have for me? Maybe you have a different plan. Maybe you have a different purpose. Now we're looking at the Lord blessing and restoring Naomi. Let's read verses 14 to 17. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto you a restorer of your life, a nourisher of your old age, for your granddaughter who loves you is better to you than seven sons has given him birth. And Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became a nurse to him. And the women, her neighbors, gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now our story began with Naomi, and now it ends with Naomi. And the women of the city who shunned her when she came back from Moab now are gathering around her and blessing the Lord for all that he has done for her. They congratulate Naomi, not Ruth, because of him, because in Obed, they see Naomi's Goel. They see that he's going to take away her reproach of childlessness, and that Elimelech's name would not disappear. But Obed would make it famous because he would carry the family name on. In verse 15, they say that Obed the baby would be a restorer of life to Naomi, that he would be her delight, that he would restore her happiness, that he would be a healer of her heart and the sorrow and the things that she had been through, that he would be her joy, her first grandchild, and that he would be the stay and the gladness of her old age. Because Naomi probably thought she would never have any grandchildren. She probably thought that she would live a lonely old age and be alone and by herself. And now God has blessed her with a wonderful daughter-in-law, now a son-in-law to take care of her, and now a beautiful baby boy to have and to hold. And don't our grandchildren do that? You know, they make us young again, right? We turn into little kids again. You know, we start crawling around on the floor. We're exploring things. We're looking at bugs and butterflies and rocks. And, you know, we're doing things that we never would have done as adults, but we're enjoying the simple things of life with them. And we're enjoying them, you know, and just their tender age and just everything that they're so excited about. You know, they restore our life. They nourish us in our old age. And what a joy they are. And then the women also said that Ruth is better to you than seven sons. Now, in the Jewish community, that was, you know, really something to be praised. She was really honoring Ruth. And what a blessing she was to her. So Naomi's emptiness was changed to fruitfulness. And in verse 16, it says, and now Naomi took the child, she laid him in her bosom, and she became a nurse unto him. It means that she cared for him. It means that she became like his guardian and caregiver, and that she would be a helper to Ruth. Now, wouldn't every mother, young mother, love to have a Naomi around to help, right? Someone in the home that could help you with the kids every day, hold the baby, you know, do things for you. But what a blessing Naomi must have been, and how her heart was just so filled with joy and love for this little guy, Obed. In verse 17, we see that her neighbors name the baby. Now, this seems a little strange why Boaz doesn't name his own son, but if you'll remember that at John the Baptist's birth, his relatives and friends came and they were saying what his name would be. And yet, remember, John the Baptist had lost his speech. So he wrote on a tablet, no, his name is going to be John. But here they were trying to name the baby. Perhaps it was because this child was legally the son of Mahlon's, Ruth's husband. So the women suggest the name Obed. Obed means servant or worshiper. So the idea of the boy growing up to serve his grandmother, Naomi's little helper, he would be. What a blessing that is. And I'm sure that Naomi told little Obed all about all that God had done for her and Ruth, and how he had led them, provided for them, and told him how faithful and good God was. And what a blessing that is, that we have the opportunity to do the same for our children and our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, our kids in Sunday school, our kids in the church that you know, that we can share about Jesus with them, and we can tell them about God's faithfulness and his goodness and all that he's done in our lives, you know. What an opportunity that is. So let's read verses 18. The lineage is a blessing. Their lineage is a blessing to the world. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadad. Abinadad begot Nahash. And Nahash begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz. And remember, Ginger told us that Salmon married Rahab, and that somewhere along the line, Rahab was either Boaz's mother, grandmother, or great-grandmother. So that is really encouraging to see that. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. So this section of genealogy is very important because it connects the family of David with the tribe of Judah. Without it, we would have no record. It reminds us also of God's hand in directing history. He had his hand on this family. Obed was the grandfather of King David, and through King David's descendants came our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. God is so good. So Ruth the Moabitess, now the wife of Boaz, becomes a blessing to the whole world in being the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. And I pray that as your and my family grows, we will have a godly line as well, that we can look down at our line as family, that they will love and serve and obey God. That's what my prayer is for my family, my grandkids, and I know it's the prayer of your heart as well. So in closing, we see what began with tragedy and sorrow in the beginning of our book now ends with wedding bells and with the birth of a precious baby boy and Naomi, a happy grandmother. We see Ruth no longer as a heathen maid nor a poor gleaner, but raised to the position of bride to Boaz, a mother of Obed, the ancestor of King David, Before she was an idol worshiper, now she worships the God of Israel and dwells in God's chosen land. And that's what Jesus has done for us. We were afar off. We were separated by sin, right? But now we're made near by Jesus' blood. We are his bride, and we are lifted up into heavenly places with him, and we will dwell with him in heaven forever. Praise the Lord. The book of Ruth ends with a happy ending. But God doesn't always give us a happy ending in this world. You may say, okay, great, they have a happy ending, but I'm not experiencing a happy ending in my life. Sometimes we question why God allows certain things to happen in our lives. But we can trust and know that he will accomplish his purposes in our lives in a beautiful way as we trust him, as we allow him to restore, heal, repair our broken lives. The Lord gave Naomi and Ruth an opportunity to build a new house, so to speak, a chance to start anew. Their old house was in pretty bad shape, wasn't it? It had fallen apart. They'd lost their father, their husbands, their sons. They were in a foreign land. They were hungry. Their house was pretty broken down. But in Joel 2:25, I love this scripture. The Lord says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. The years that sin has destroyed your and my life, God is going to restore. When we give our life to him, he can heal the pain, the grief, and the heartache in your life. The Lord can build you a new house too, if you just let him. Now, there is a TV show that I watched this week because my daughter's husband's cousins were on this show, and it was called Help, I Wrecked My House. It's on HGTV. And so it's about people that actually try to repair their houses, and they actually really mess it up. I mean, they do dangerous things, and they destroy it, and then anyways, these TV hosts come along, and they help them rebuild it. And I always think about that, you know? Those houses are destroyed, falling apart, all messed up. That can be like your life and my life. And that when we give our lives to the Lord, he can go, okay, I'm coming in. I'm going to fix everything. I'm going to repair that wall. I'm going to fix that pipe. I'm going to fix that floor. And I'm just going to make it all new. When we give our lives to Jesus, he can make it new, just like he did Naomi and Ruth. So don't be discouraged if you feel like your life is falling apart, if it's a mess and it's all destroyed. Give it to the Lord. Trust him. Ask him to rebuild, heal, and restore. Because the Lord says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things will become new. So let's pray.